SpaghettiOs, Jen. Let me in.
With meatballs. With meatballs.
All right, forget it. Deal's off. We're going to let you in until...
So anyway, yeah, it was off for a while. That was a kind of a crazy storm that sort of came out of nowhere. I was not ready for that. I went running outside to like put, you know, cushions away and stuff. And then I thought it just seemed a little dangerous. So I ran back in. So,
we had one of those today that popped up, but it was literally like in Wakefield and Stoneham, but not here in Melrose. Like the wind and the lightning and the rain. Yeah. It rained here in Melrose, but again,
well, we
3-4 miles away. It's a totally
it's been like 1,000 degrees with no rain for 30 days or so. So
it's all going to change.
We needed that. Yeah.
It's all going to change tomorrow. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm very excited.
So, so I've been out. I was on vacation, enjoying myself, my wife, and but I missed a big event, didn't I? Town?
Summer Stroll.
Summer Stroll people?
Okay. Well, I wasn't sure which big event you missed so much. There's all kinds of things. Broken Leg Productions.
Broken Leg Productions.
Summer Stroll, all kinds of things happening.
I didn't know if anybody went. I just want to get a wrap up of that. We can talk to the mayor about it as well. But
Clearly, wherever you were traveling, they don't have internet access because you didn't see the post on our own Facebook page.
When I was
interviewing Stephanie Nelson downtown from the Chamber of Commerce, it was She'll a fantastic event. Great weather. They had 4 live music stages.
Oh, I love it.
I was privileged to perform with Boutte and the Brothers at one of the stages. It was a blast.
So where were you performing? Where were you outside of?
In front of Eastern Bank.
Eastern Bank.
Across from Petroni's and the Parklet.
Oh, yeah,
so
sure.
There were 2 more up Main Street to like, wherever you take a left
Essex?
At City Hall. What's that street? Essex, thank you.
Yeah. Essex, yeah.
Yeah, so 3
Except
up
I hope you're not
one around the corner.
You do take a left there.
No, it was all blocked. It was all blocked off. You take a left. And I went to check out some of the early performers, and I think there was a duo at the one on Essex by City Hall. And I think one of the guys or both of them maybe are music teachers or something. They were phenomenal. It was so cool.
It's a great event.
It was the summer stand because I made my way. Dave and I walked down there and we kind of came in right. We headed right towards Eastern Bank, saw you guys, saw a bunch of people I know. And then I never moved. I got a drink at, the VFW, and then for me it was the summer stand right there. Everybody else strolled by me. It was quite
there
cool.
There you go.
That's nice. We also missed it because we were at Broken Leg.
Congrats
on Broken Leg for a profitable summer.
Good for them.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. And yeah.
And the kids did a great job. Everybody was fantastic, I heard, too.
Yeah. So I saw 2 of them, Shrek Jr. and Carrie, and they were both phenomenal. A particular shout-out, to that donkey from Shrek Jr.
Right.
Like, the reviews all over town and right behind us as it was happening were like, that kid, that donkey is off the hook. He's so funny. So... congrats.
It was insane to see that kid do all of that. Like, incredible.
He was amazing.
I'm sure he was.
Congrats to everybody, to all the talent and all the other, there's lots of Russell Park kids in the whole cast. That was a really, really enjoyable show.
Oh, great show.
So I can't say enough again, theater is magic.
Anybody's
known this kid from years past thinking that he could get on stage and be that funny and sing in front of people, hundreds of people, you would be astounded.
So. He's finding himself. He's got a voice now.
Yep. Theater is magic.
Yeah.
I agree.
Nice. You know who else is finding himself? Our special guest tonight. He's deep into his term as the mayor.
Let's bring him on. He's
dealing with all the things. I'm going to play the news thing and you guys bring him out of the green room and we're going to go right into the news with Paul. Should we say hello first?
We say hello first.
We'll say hello. All right, I'm all business tonight, but there
Boom,
he is.
Boom, there we go. Mr. Mayor.
Hello, Paul. Mr. Mayor.
How are y'all doing?
Hi there.
Doing good, well. How are you?
Good, thank how you. Are you?
It's good to see Jen back in country, that's for sure. Coffee in Melrose before you head out to Europe again.
Kidding, right.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was a lot. Yeah, that's it for a while. That's it.
I'm so glad you're here because I have no idea what's going on in this city. I feel like I've So. I feel like I've been under a rock. So what we do have the orange line to talk about. We can talk about that first.
We can do a lot of time.
All right, let's get into it. Let's get into it. You guys keep keep leaning into it. Right, yeah, no, we have to. We got to get into the segment.
There we go. That's all it takes.
All right. So first of all, we want to know what you're doing about the ants. I found this on the Melrose Mass community page. Maureen Barstow. She's got ants. She's killed at least 100.
Whoa.
So I'm not sure if that's
not bragging.
She's not bragging. This is just stating the facts.
Not
she's not sure about the difference in dryness.
She's just bringing the data.
She's not sure if she needs an exterminator. She's put out traps, but fortunately, so far, none of them are on the counter. So that is the good news. I like a story with a happy ending, you know, where midpoint act one, if you will.
With some probably really good feedback and ideas.
I'm sure.
The virtue of social media, right?
So
you know what I have found? Right. The Melrose Community Group is good at solving all kinds of problems. You really could throw out any you know, if you just want to spitball, crowdsource, brainstorm, that's the place to post it. And people do.
It can be.
People do.
That's a place where you also have to be careful waiting in to read through the post, because it can take you all of a sudden an hour or two of your day to go through what everyone thinks, everyone's opinions, and the sharing of information and all.
Everyone telling the other person how stupid to do their opinion whatever. Is.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
But no, it's
the last word is important.
That is Well, you get roped in because there's one interesting comment that's quippy about somebody, but you don't understand it, so you have to go read the other 100 comments for context.
No, there is a black hole piece of that.
But all we right. also love it because it is a great way to get information out, things like that. So
it is
our community, and we appreciate it.
So MBTA, is that what you're talking about?
That's certainly one of the things.
The orange line / the green line. Let's not forget our friends that are either can I have their service discontinued? And then there is, of course, the service that is being delayed. And so a couple of things just to start the conversation, because I'd rather hear from you guys and what your questions or thoughts might be. But, you know, it's a mess. It's always been a mess. Hopefully this is a jumping off point. I got asked by a reporter, I want to say, you know, how the people in Melrose reacting. I said, well, it's a combination of anger and resignation. And I think that is true, because no one lately has had a terrific experience with the T. So anything the T tries to do is correctly met with a great deal of skepticism. So, you know, we have myself and working with some other local leaders, including most importantly, Mayor Longo Kern of Medford and Mayor Christensen of Malden, to say, all right, here's a couple of ideas. We have, they were, I guess, well-received, but the frustration we have is that we're getting offered a ton of meetings from a ton of different people, like DOT tries to have a meeting, Department of Transportation, because they kind of own the road piece of whatever's going to happen, the MBTA, traffic experts, whatever the case may be. And, you know, we're getting closer. And we don't have the information we need just to tell people what to do, what the alternatives are. And that, I mean, they're trying to build the plane as they fly it. It's going to be, that's certainly going to be tricky. But it's funny, the Medford mayor and I were just talking about it. Certainly begs the question, given the time frame, all right, do they actually have drivers for the buses, because there's all kinds of labor shortages around that. Do they already have the steel they need to replace the tracks? And, you know, are they going to at some point just put out a shuttle route, even if it's a disaster? Can you just let us know what we should be telling our constituents? Yeah. So far, not so good.
Brother.
That is for sure. Look, if they can pull this off in 30 days, eliminate the slow spots on the orange line, of which there are probably six that mess up the whole system, hopefully that leads to actually deploying some of the new cars, then maybe it's all worth it. But it is hard to be optimistic right now. That is
you know, I was coming into this, I was thinking about it, and my wife and I were talking about this because we're both longtime Orange Line riders, 15, 20 years. And so I was deciding, you know what, I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to say, you know what, we just have to do it, suck it up for a month to get all the work done, and then the T is a better place. But it's hard to feel that way when the reality is exactly as you're pointing out. Things should be better, but really we know that it's hard to get to that point of being better. It feels like a mismanaged organization at times where you just don't have a lot of faith. No, I'm just saying, because I ride the T a lot, and I have for many years. And it's hard to, you know, hard to square like why things aren't better when you go to other cities. The experience is very different, you know.
So I'm in the resignation camp because I'm a longtime rider, and I gave up before this happened.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I swore off it, and I just started driving post pandemic because I like the day before the lady jumped off the bridge, I was happened to say to somebody at work because we were talking about commuting or something, and I'm like, I just have resigned to the fact that the T is not going to be any better in my lifetime. After 10, 15 years riding it every day, post-pandemic, I mean, you get in after the pandemic, it's the same nasty seats and water leaking in.
Experience is a hard teacher, right?
Yes.
I mean, and that is absolutely, and, you know, going back to the 30-day thing, given what we don't know kind of about the rest of the plan, and again, kind of building it on the fly, is I would love someone to explain to me, and hopefully we'll get to this. I have at least two meetings tomorrow with different folks, is they go say, here's why 30 days is the date we picked, because we do have the steel lined up and we know we can probably deploy it in this fashion in this amount of time. So you can have a reasonable amount of faith in the number as opposed to, I don't know, we'll throw out 30 days and see how it goes.
My guess is what's driving it is the situation is dire.
Yeah.
So I think the feds, you know, so we've known it's been bad for a long time. I think the feds came in, took a peek under the hood and said, oh my God. So I wouldn't even ride it between now and the 19th. I wouldn't ride it.
Yeah. I don't know how you show the comments, but we should throw up one of our there it is. Yeah.
So I think a person jumping off of a bridge is probably dire. Yes, that would be characterized as a dire situation.
Keep in mind,
and that took that to happen. I mean, sorry,
this solution, what they're talking about with the 30 days, doesn't have anything to do with that train catching on fire. That's a whole different kettle of fish. You almost can't make this stuff up. It's like Chris Sale, the Boston Red Sox pitcher. If you're following that, it makes perfect sense.
Debbie's got the scoop. They're going to put it into receipt. You know, I think that's what should happen. I think the whole thing needs to be torn to the ground and rebuilt.
Keep in mind that the final Fed safety report has not dropped yet. That's a coming. So
we missed this quote earlier too, Chef Borat.
Hey guys, we have the mayor.
Sorry.
I'm trying to listen to the mayor. Yeah, no kidding.
Fine dining too. I can talk to you in spaghetti.
Anyway. Well, there are some transportation professionals working at the state. They know what the problems are, and I'm just shocked that there's no crisis emergency plan for when something like this happened. It's really disheartening. It's terrifying that people are having to jump out of trains and burning buses, etc. I'm just shocked. And I wouldn't be surprised if that, now that I'm into politics, that was the plan all along, is to privatize some of this stuff.
Right. Does that mean, does receivership mean privatize?
Not necessarily.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I think privatizing would be an even worse idea. But I think it needs to be restructured.
Keolis is, I mean, it's not uncommon for, well, the current administration's, you know,
even that deserves a little bit of cynicism, because I suspect if you check the average lifespan of a TGM, it's probably a couple of years, right? We had, we had a control board for what, 3, 4, 5 years that was going to be the fix. And I'm sure that they did some stuff there. I mean, a lot of that was around the storm, in 2015, and remedying some of that.
But that was supposed to be bottoming out. That was supposed to be correct. The time when it got that bad that now we're going to really fix it, and it never happened. So it's like, yeah, it seems unfixable without changing the organization that is
responsible. Well, there's a lot. I mean, it's time, money, and pain. There's also a lot of times, as someone who's been in and around government for a little while, sometimes we say reform, whatever that means, because we don't want to write the check. It is any way you slice it, even if it's, you know, the best manager in the world, we get Warren Buffett to run it, come in and run the tea for a little while. He's going to say one thing he's definitely going to say. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff he would say. You need money. Right?
But what about all the pandemic money? What about all the, I mean, billions and trillions of dollars was supposed to go to this stuff. Like, where did that go?
Well, it's also part of the, you know, long-term plan versus crisis management. You give the T $6 billion, whatever, you know, pick a number. You still got to do it. Right. I mean, and that is hard. It is going to mean probably, you know, taking some assets offline, putting on new stuff, whatever the case may be. But the, you know, in a better world, is that I think the more concerning point is, given all that has gone on, why didn't this at least start to happen in a more benign way when people weren't riding the damn system?
Right, exactly. That's one of the things you've heard people ask me, like, why the hell did they not do this when they had an opportunity?
Right.
When ridership was like at zero. I mean, it's just, and then, okay, so that's the first best time. The second best time would have been like 30 days ago, like August heading into September. So I just had lunch with a friend of mine who is responsible for the downtown crossing bid, that whole area, works in that arena. And, you know, she's talking about like restaurants, you know, they just had a comeback downtown kickoff celebration a few weeks ago. They're like, restaurants are staffing back up. Like, how are staff now going to get to work? And Tom Shamp, you know, you mentioned earlier, you said something about, you know, we realize that we sort of have to just kind of like, you know, suck it up and get this done and hope that it will be better later. There's a lot of people that like can't suck it up and get this done. There's a lot of people that are not going to be able to get to work, get their kids to school, pick up their kids from daycare, all the things, are going to be late to work, are hourly employers. There's a statement in the news article that or the press release that came out from the MBTA, or like you said, Mr. Mayor, like one of these gazillion meetings, that said officials are encouraging Orange Line workers to work from home. Seriously, like, not that like a lot of the people who are relying on public transportation don't and can't work from home, and they're hourly employees, and it's going to take them twice as long to get to work now. The buses we just saw were catching on fire in Forest Hills. I mean, it's just absurd. So there's a real equity issue and like a reality check that needs to happen for the people who need to use.
There always is for their whole transportation network. As a member of Metro Mayors, which is the, you know, kind of greater Boston mayors, we have done a lot of work talking about this stuff, advocating for state money, federal money, for reforms, and quite frankly, fair relief. There's a lot that it has to be reliable, safe, efficient, and affordable for anyone that relies on the system. As one thing I tell you, what we haven't touched on is access to medical care, right? There's a lot of important, unique medical care in Boston. Some of that maybe can be telecommuted. Some of it can maybe be pushed to a satellite campus, but not all of it. And a lot of folks can't get from here to there. And even if they're out our way, you say, oh, well, they can take the ride. Maybe. But you still face the reality of the traffic snow.
Going back to what we said before, and the staff that are serving those medical facilities. Yeah. I mean, it's a whole ecosystem.
You'd be lucky if it was twice as long. If you've ever been rerouted to those shuttle buses, it's not.
It's insane.
So, Paul, Mr. Mayor, were they talking at all about like any way to alleviate so that the buses could, you know, move through the traffic more quickly? Or maybe is there going to be policing at the inter- you know, it's just a, like if that bus just goes into the regular traffic, it's just seems like it's going to go from bad to worse.
Yeah. Right. So a couple of, that's why, you know, even though it's a little bit self-serving advocacy around from a Melrose or a Malden, do an express route, send it right into the government center or wherever, you know, the right spot would be to get folks into the into the system. It's good for our people, but it also relieves ridership pressure on the rest of the system. Bus lanes or that kind of, you know, that kind of carve out are very hard to bring up just like that. It involves a lot of, you know, drivers getting educated. You just, if you deploy it in a week, that means you're going
to
need.
You'd have to like police escort transit, down 93 or something.
And there's going to be a lot more volume. So presumably carving out the bus lane will help those commuters get in, but it's going to jam up some of the car folks. So it really is, you know, you pull one string and who knows what happens next. It's also very hard. So this is a real problem for Medford. So if you want to do bus lane from Wellington Circle into Assembly Square and off you go, those are actually state roads. So you might need like Malden for Commercial Street to get you from Malden Center to Wellington. Then you need the state police to set up something to get you where you're going to go through Wellington Circle, which is already is a fairly dysfunctional intersection when no one's messing with it. So it's very tricky.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, and I kind of kidding, not kidding. Has anybody talked about like the National Guard coming in to help out with logistics or traffic or like what else is the state doing?
Or the Ped Bike Committee,
right?
right. Finn could take two people at a time.
There's no shortage. Nothing anyone's saying is unreasonable, but it's the time. I mean, but some folks from a better neighborhood, maybe I want to say, have talked about jiggering the schedule so that full closure from now till Labor Day, but then restoration of service after Labor Day with some overnight cutbacks and work to maybe almost do like peak load management. I don't know if they have vetted that.
So, Paul, you know, the Malden Melrose contingent has access to the commuter rail, and I'm wondering if they're looking at, you know, dropping the price of the commuter rail so it's not.
You can use your T-Pass.
Charlie card.
At the same price.
Yes.
Good.
Oh,
yeah.
I think it's zone 2, 1A, and 1. You can use your subway pass. Again, a good idea, but I'm not sure. It'll be interesting to see how much volume that generates. Right. Does that mean folks from, you know, if we're kind of at the end of the system.
Right.
Is our parking going to get overwhelmed with folks that recognize, new game is, you know, because if I go to Oak Grove, my choice is, getting on the shuttle bus, that's no good, or trying to cram my body into the overpacked, potentially commuter rail. I'm going to try to, presumably, if it's the same price, particularly with cheaper parking, I'm going to go up to,
you know, sometimes it's 20 minutes for the last 100 yards on that commuter rail line, too, for some reason, getting into North Station.
Really need, and I will admit, we've suggested it, but logistically, potentially very challenging, is more commuter rail service.
Right. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. And longer trains. And Cazella and I used to say all the time that there are like at least 4 or 5 bus lines that drive or close to or pass by Wyoming Hill and Cedar Park just to get to Oak Grove.
For sure.
If those, not saying anything new or interesting or exciting, it just has to happen.
And it's really the what we forget, like, because it's always crisis management, there was like a fairly significant, fairly thoughtful, there's probably been a billion of them on the shelf of the like long-term capital planning strategy for the T. Mm-hmm. And one of them around commuter rail that I'm a big fan of, and the a lot of the metro mayors are very interested in, is electrification of the commuter rail. Sounds right. Like some weird pie in the sky green thing. And it is, but it is also quieter, faster, mm-hmm. more reliable, which means you can increase frequency of service.
Right.
Which is a huge deal because, you know, if you're running the same amount of trains, you're accommodating.
I mean, we have three stops in Melrose. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's.
Well, one of the things I'm hoping for is that this crisis is going to really flex our creativity and how we solve for some of these problems that will stay beyond the crisis itself.
So while we're spitballing, I'm thinking Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves drive a couple of those buses. And that's going to make a huge difference.
What's the Melrose equivalent of that?
It
you
never
and Sam. You and Sam.
Dennis Sampson.
Sampson, yes.
It's going 60
and
miles.
And Cindy Turbulon.
Cindy Turbulon. There you go.
Perversely encourage people to stay at home. And, you know, the privilege issue is a real thing, but honestly, if you have the opportunity and the convenience to be able to work from home, work off hours, whatever the case may be, this goes out to, employers as well. Help us. The business community has a big role to play in managing this, but also pushing for the long-term solution. They've actually been, over the last several years, pretty good about recognizing the value, not always being speaking with one voice on what the funding solution is. And before I want to say, before we move off this, if we do, one thing I think is super important to say, if you're going to be using this system, you are going to be super frustrated. You're going to have a lot of anger that you don't know what to do with. Please do not visit it upon the conductors, the bus drivers, or the information ambassadors, or whatever the case may be. They didn't create this, but they're the person on the front lines. Let's have a little grace for these folks, because it's going to get tough. I remember the times riding the subway during the masking part of COVID, and people were, what's a nice way to say it, very aggressively abusing the drivers. And, are you kidding? They're not.
Yeah, right.
Be cool.
Good point.
Everyone's got to be cool.
Good point.
Patience.
So I've seen a lot of that, right, at Downtown Crossing, Tom, when people are pushing each other to get on and off when the T's at like peak operating, capacity.
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So we have the mayor with us. We got to move on to at least one other thing. There's probably a bunch of stuff in here that we can punt till next week. But Sam, you talked about our creativity, so I'm going to use that as the segue for a very quick plug. The Melrose Cultural Council has released its annual community survey. So if we can get a link to that up here, I don't know how to do any of that stuff anymore.
I got it. Just passed you by.
I've lost. But anyway, this is there are a set of that the local cultural councils distribute funding that's allocated to each of the municipalities from the state budget. There for all of our grants, there is state guidelines, but this survey helps inform our local priorities, and it really does make a difference. It's actually something that we really do pay attention to, because every community and every municipality is different. So the funding needs for arts and culture are different per municipality. So take the survey, please, through the end of September, pass it around, share it broadly. We want to make sure we hear from as much of the community as possible.
If you have the link, could you throw it up?
Sam just put it in the chat, and thank you to your comms team. I just saw that it came out from the mayor's office. So you can find more information on the Cultural Council website and Sam put the link right there. So
let's talk about another creative project. Project happening in Melrose. The library is about to shut down and move. Right.
Big news.
The hack is, I've heard on the, if you get a book out now, you don't have to bring it back. Until mid-September.
And that's very helpful for them because they have to move all that stuff. So just go in.
Go and take a book.
Get all the books that you want. You're doing everybody a favor.
Yeah.
That's sexy. But true.
I will tell you, the volume has been kind of insane for that.
The volume of books being taken out? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And a lot of, and particularly the, the electronic access for sure. And, we'll be back open up as soon as we can at the BB school. I think you all know that with a lot of the services coming back. I will say one thing I think folks don't know about. Yeah, we want you to return the stuff on time, but a little notice change that I want to thank the Library Board of Trustees for, it was probably a couple of years ago now, was to eliminate late fees.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
It added up, but it didn't add up a ton.
It didn't, but
It's in some respects more of a hassle than it's worth. But there's certainly an equity issue there.
Yeah,
and for the most part, that fine was not an incentive really to bring stuff back. Read
that 45 cents made me think about it.
See that?
Tell long you that. You are long and hard.
Outside the norm, sir, which you may have known already.
Yeah, so that's great. And the library's moving to the BB school. It's going to operate out of there, and they're going to keep all the basic services running so that the construction happens on, is it like in a year or something? Is it? It's a pretty fast timeline.
It happens pretty quick. Yeah. So the 100% design is finished, which means like all the smaller particulars that folks might not necessarily be as interested from a detail perspective. Demo will start, I think, pretty quickly. Assuming supply chain isn't an issue, we're projecting a hopefully 18-month process that is subject to some vagaries these days, to be sure. But also on the library front, I don't think I'm breaking news here.
I hope you are.
But you should be breaking news. There we go.
We do have a generous anonymous benefactor that is going to be kind of the anchor of a matching donation program that will go to support the library.
Wow.
I don't want to give details in case I am wrong about those details, but it is a substantial amount of money that again will not defray the cost of construction. I want that to be clear, but will allow us to do some some value adds that we're not really in a position to do otherwise. So we are very excited about that.
That's great.
I think it might have had a soft launch, but you'll be seeing more about that shortly. We have it's a lot of work from the Friends of the Library and some other folks to really support this, kind of professionalize it a little bit. We're very excited about
So that's it'll be great. A citywide. Sorry, Tom.
I was just going to say that's great because, like, the Friends of the Library kicked in, let's not forget, like $2 million on this project.
The trustees.
Over, but they accumulated that over a long period of time for this. So that these kinds of things are not insignificant and really help take that to the next level.
Tom Shampoo, it sounds like you were about to say this is a community-wide thing.
Yes. Is it a community-wide effort to raise money and fundraise?
I wouldn't want to limit us to the four corners. That's for sure. If there are folks that kind of the sky's the limit when you start talking to the pros. So someone has a relative who used to work here might not live in the city, but has a connection with the library.
Gotcha.
We are happy to take their money. We will let local state planning attorneys know that this is an opportunity for those kind of it's a world that I'm not really intimately familiar with. I'm more in the $100 world than on a good day. We'll take you 100 too.
Yeah.
Every little bit counts because even if you don't have a lot to give, even if you can't, that's cool. But just that commitment, the act of donating, supporting a library, regardless of the amount, makes a big difference just in terms of the the community impact, that recognition that, you know, I don't want to say I'd rather have a million donors than $1 million. I'd rather have both, but to have in a city of 29,000 people, if we could get, you know, 10,000 people to donate,
yeah,
50 cents, terrific. We'll take it and we'll be grateful for it.
Yeah, I mean, the library already is such a treasure. It's such an important creative information, cultural asset to this community. So I'm really, really looking forward to Melrose Library.
And the new design is off the hook.
And just can't having that kind of space, like we, you know, we need more community space, and like it's just great. Yeah, I can't wait.
We need we need more air conditioning space.
Yeah,
right. I mean, that is an unfortunate reality.
Sam's like,
Not to pivot from something really awesome to something not quite as good.
Less awesome.
Historically, communities like Melrose have focused a lot on winter for obvious reasons, right? It's New England. Clearing snow. We've started to talk a little bit about warming centers. This is not a political piece, but it kind of is. You know, when summer goes from 3 days over 90 to, you know, over 90.
Like 30. All of July. I just looked this up actually, because I feel like I was like, I literally can't remember when it wasn't 85 or higher. It's like all of July, June 28th or 29th. Wow. It spiked, and it's been high ever since, the entire month of July.
We unfortunately going to have to come around to the, you know, it really stinks when your heat goes out. Obviously, we're kind of used to that in New England, but it's getting to the point where it's a real health and safety concern, sustained heat. For a lot of our residents, and quite frankly, compared to a lot of other places, we're pretty fortunate, right?
Yeah.
But that's something that's going to have to go into the mix of of our planning and budgeting and all that goes along with that.
I wondered if there's any connections between some of the power outages we've seen in the area to the heavy use of AC, because as you said, you know, we've got 15, I think it's 15 days this year,
not
16 days. Right. So who knows, you know, if that use of the power grid is just a sky high because of the change in temperatures.
And it's also fragile. It just is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What took out a large portion of the city that experienced that, probably not all, it was a high voltage line getting whacked by a tree. Now, high voltage line's a little different than just the thing that might service a couple of your neighbors that feeds, you know, other lines, and it can lead to a pretty big spread. That stuff's getting old.
Right. Well, I was gonna say mayor's choice. Like, there are 100,000 things going on in the city that we read about in the paper. But what is like the thing that is most exciting to you right now that maybe nobody really knows about?
Oh, that nobody really, I can't tell you that.
That's a good stuff.
Let people know about.
Maybe it's a small thing that was really exciting to you that nobody really cares about. Like that.
Oh, what if no one really cares? I mean, you know what? It's kind of it's not at all a surprise. But
what do you want? What do you want 10 more people to know about? Because that's what you get here.
All right. That's cool. You know, we did the 5K Our Way piece with our Melrose High students.
Yeah.
And the first year's project hasn't been built, part of it because of a difficult launch where the $5,000 project really cost 40 grand. So
was it the basketball court?
It was indeed, and continues to be. And it also, it's challenging to locate for any number of reasons, environmental, space, whatever the case may be. The Conservation Commission has given approval to the Amazing Grace basketball court. It's going to be a half court. It's going to be kind of state of the art for half court on the middle school, high school campus. So Melrose United will have access to an outdoor court that they don't have to like drag stuff around or whatever the case. And it will include a nice tribute to Grace. We're obviously going to be working with the family on that and kind of, you know, try to respect whatever they think is the best way of of memorializing her. So that is super exciting. And I don't know if it'll happen before school opens. But apologies for how long it took. I would say this year's 5K Our Way, also an investment at the high school, middle school campus of some more outdoor seating. That, because the prices were pretty accurate, we should be able to turn around, again, assuming supply chain kind of works. We think we can get that open on or around the first day of school.
Which awesome. Nice. Cool. That's cool. Awesome.
And so where's that going to live?
It's still subject to a little bit. It'll be probably out in front of the middle school and high school. Mm-hmm. Want to check with fire and make sure that we're doing all that stuff right. We have to make sure it's at a place where we can secure it, so it doesn't necessarily take a walk.
End up in somebody's backyard.
Right. Wakefield's 5K Melrose's Way could be a
thing.
And
those fighting words.
Exciting potential events, we are hoping to do one or two more things around Main Street with, I don't want to say closure necessarily, but it's some
not closure,
more,
it's opening.
Closure's okay.
It's opening. It's actually some opening more, to the public.
Some more programming around things like that might be a little bit different, maybe a little bit themed as summer stroll. City obviously supports, but it's a Melrose Chamber event, whereas the block party, 100% a city event, but it all kind of mushes together. Mm-hmm. So we want, we're certainly pushing for more of that, and stay tuned because we got a couple ideas in the cocoa. One that I just learned about today that the staff is apparently already working on, which is awesome. So stay tuned.
Amazing.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Is ripe for that.
We need to have you come back in 6 weeks, Paul, and talk about who shut down better, the library or the tea. So we'll have that discussion.
Hopefully, the tea will open up before the library. It's not an ambitious goal, but that is the world I live in.
All right. And again, everybody, get down to the library, borrow your books. You have them for a little bit longer this time, but
I don't remember the exact date, but the library is also, the Friends are having one more book sale, which will help because the dollars help. But anything you buy,
they don't have to move. That's right.
I don't want to take over their marketing because it's their show, but I'm thinking if you show up towards the end, stuff's going to be priced to move.
Giving it away.
Nice to move. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a good tip.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's good. Good to see everyone again. I don't know if you guys are ever going to go back in studio, but that would be pretty monumental.
We haven't picked a date. We haven't talked about seriously.
This is the first time we've been all together in like 6 months. I think the studio would be fun. Maybe some more things out and about. So if there are some more openings on Main Street, a little bit of remote reporting or whatever, really would be fun. We do like this format. The fans seem to love it.
Bells and whistles that come with this is pretty fun.
We are ready to provide content, whatever you need.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Okay. So one more thing I just want to give it. I'm just going to share the link real quick. We talked about a lot of stuff, but Melrose Porch Fest is just opened up for performers and porches, and that's going to be another exciting thing coming up this fall. And there's tons of other stuff we didn't even get to. September 24th is the date of the event. Right. So they just opened it up. You go onto the site and register, and then they'll have a map of where all the performers
are. Bigger and better than ever.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's going to be great. So go and sign up.
Fantastic. Awesome. That sounds great.
All right. And with that, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure. Catch up. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
Yeah. Thanks. Cool.
And keep your fingers crossed about the MBTA.
Yeah. Right. All right. And we'll see you around town.
Do we still dance on this show?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm out.